Please pray with me. Dear Lord, I pray that this message is not my message, that these words don't come from me, but they come from you, and they help each one of us to hear what you want us to hear and understand what you want us to understand. May we connect more deeply with you through this time. Amen. This is our fourth Sunday of preaching a series on forgiveness. It's 70 times 7. We've talked about forgiveness is an important thing, and Jesus told us, when asked the question, how many times should I forgive somebody who sins against me? And Jesus said, not 7, 70 times 7, which for those of you who do math, it's 490. But basically, a lot, or as many as it takes. We are to forgive everyone always, no matter what. We are to be people of forgiveness. And a lot of time, forgiveness is forgiving others. But today we're going to talk about forgiving ourselves. How many of us have forgiveness written on our to-do list? Do we think about this every day? Is this something that's a priority for us? Is this something that we're intentional about? Forgiveness is when done by believers, when done by the church, when done through faith with God, is a lifestyle. It's something that we just do as part of who we are. It's not something we do to check off a list, or it's not something we do to accomplish something specific. It's just a life that we live. If we live a life of forgiving and being forgiven, then our world and the world around us gets transformed into the likeness of Christ. But today we're going to talk about who to forgive. We're supposed to forgive ourselves. But forgiving ourselves, what is that? Because really, I mean, theologically, we can't forgive ourselves. After all, if we could forgive ourselves, then Jesus wouldn't have needed to come and die on a cross for us. We can't forgive ourselves, but what we can do is accept the forgiveness that God gives us for ourselves. When we sin, we separate ourselves from God, and we make it difficult for us to line up with God's will. Essentially, that is what sin is. But when we accept God's forgiveness, when we acknowledge that we needed to be forgiven, that we have sin, and we accept that sin and accept the forgiveness of that sin and what Jesus did on the cross, then it positions us to be used by God, to be used powerfully by God. Barbara read for us a moment ago a passage from 1 John chapter 1. I'm going to lift up for us verse 9, where he says, if we confess our sins, he who is faithful and just will forgive us our sins and cleanse us from all unrighteousness. If we confess our sins, he who is faithful and just will forgive us our sins and cleanse us from all unrighteousness. That right there is the essence of forgiveness. Forgiveness isn't just something we do that fixes it or that, you know, takes it away, although it certainly does. But it's more than that. When we ask for forgiveness, or when we forgive others, but certainly when we ask for forgiveness, God forgives us, but then he cleanses us from all unrighteousness. He sets us back to pure, back to white. And it's only in that state, it's only in that state of forgiveness, in that state of being redeemed and made whole, that we can be used by God, that we can glorify God with our lives. But first, it requires that we repent. Repentance. Repentance is simply turning away from sin. It's not just saying sorry. It's not just acknowledging that we have sinned. It's saying to God, I am grieved by this sin. And I want to turn away from it and move as far away from it as I can get and commit to living a life without that sin, without any sin. That's what repentance is. And it's through that repentance, it's through that act of turning away from sin and committing to living a life that glorifies God, that we then have faith, hope, and love. Those are the things that we need to live our lives for God. Those are the things that we need to be able to proclaim the gospel. Those are the things that we need to be able to tell the world the truth of the love of God and be useful and be helpful and be loving and compassionate. When we're stuck in our sin, we can't do that. We can't be the light of Christ. We can't be a reflection of who God is and God's love. It's only when we turn from the sin, step away from the sin, and be forgiven through repentance, that we then are in a position to be able to use faith, hope, and love to do God's work and to make a difference in the world. That's why we need to forgive ourselves. The story that I have, or one of two stories, is about Peter. Peter was the rock, Petros, which means the rock. It's the rock on which Christ would build his church. But first, Peter had to be forgiven. Because during the Last Supper, last time that Peter would be with Jesus, Jesus told him, you're gonna deny me three times. Before the rooster crows, you're gonna deny me three times. And Peter, no way, I'm never gonna do that. I would never do that to you. And of course, this is what happens from Matthew chapter 26. Now Peter was sitting outside in the courtyard. He's sitting outside the area where Jesus was about to be crucified, where Jesus was being tortured and it was not looking good for Jesus. And Peter is keeping his distance, so he's watching from outside and says, a servant girl came to him and said, you also were with Jesus the Galilean. But he denied it before all of them, saying, I do not know what you were talking about. When he went out to the porch, another servant girl saw him, and she said to the bystanders, this man was with Jesus of Nazareth. Again, he denied it with an oath. I do not know the man. After a little while, the bystanders came up and said to Peter, certainly you are also one of them. Your accent betrays you. Then he began to curse, and he swore an oath. I do not know the man. At that moment, the cock crowed. Then Peter remembered what Jesus had said. Before the cock crows, you will deny me three times. And he went out and wept bitterly. And this must have been the low point for Peter. This is like the absolute worst. Worst thing he could have possibly done. And the sad thing is for Peter, Jesus told him he was going to do it. And Peter told him he was going to do it because he's God. He knew it was going to happen. He knew it had to happen. But he knew it, and yet he knew what he was going to do because of it. Peter did something he never thought he would possibly do. He denied Christ. He told somebody that he didn't even know the guy. He spent 3 years traveling and getting to know and doing ministry with Jesus. He acknowledged that he was God and Lord. And yet, when Jesus gets ready to be tortured and crucified, Peter panics. He's scared to death. He does not want to do that. He said he'd follow Jesus anywhere, but he wasn't ready to follow him there. And so he says, I'm not doing that. Did Peter sin? Certainly, Peter sinned. In fact, he broke the 9th commandment. Do not bear false witness. He lied. In fact, he swore an oath. I swear I do not know this guy. Wow, that's terrible what Peter did. And then when the cock crows, he realizes it. And it says he goes outside, he weeps bitterly. We don't know what Peter did after that. We don't hear about him until Easter morning again. But he wept bitterly. He realized what he had done. And that must have been the longest 3 days of his life. Because as far as Peter's concerned, he's never going to see Jesus again. He betrayed his Lord. He betrayed his best friend. Did the worst thing he could ever do right before Jesus was going to die. And he was never going to see him again. He could never ask for forgiveness. He could never make it up to Jesus. And Peter spent 3 days in that state of mind. Of course, we know what happened on Easter. But after Jesus comes back and restores Peter and gives Peter an opportunity to repent and to confess and to turn from that sin, acknowledge it. That was a wonderful thing. Peter was saved just like all of us who believe in Jesus. Yet, because Peter was able to forgive himself or accept Jesus' forgiveness, he then went on to build the church. He then, just a few weeks later, after Jesus, really a few days after Jesus ascended to Pentecost, he preached the very first sermon where 3,000 people came to faith in Jesus. Peter did awesome and amazing things after that, after being forgiven, after accepting that forgiveness. He may have done something that was unspeakable, but through the gift of forgiveness, accepting what Jesus did for him, he went on to be a pillar of the early church. Then there's also the story of David. We know the story of David. This comes from 2 Samuel chapter 12. Really, it's almost the most infamous sin in the Old Testament, maybe the whole Bible. David, as king, was not out. He was a little bit older, so he wasn't out in, you know, fighting battles. He was in his palace up on the roof and sees a beautiful woman bathing. And he does what so many guys since have done. He says, "I want her." And he makes some very bad choices, steals Bathsheba, sleeps with her, conceives a child with her, and then conspires to have her husband killed so he could marry her and get away with it. Just terrible. I mean, who would do that? That's just a terrible sin. He's king. And he used that power to just slap Jesus in the face, slap God in the face. And then here's the story where he meets Nathan. The Lord says, or thus says the Lord, "I will raise up trouble against you from within your own house, and I will take your wives before you and give them to your neighbor, and he shall lie with them, with your wives, in the sight of this very son, for you did it in secretly. But I will do this before all Israel and before the sun." David said to Nathan, "I have sinned against the Lord." Nathan said to David, "Now the Lord has put away your sin. You shall not die. Nevertheless, because by this deed you have utterly scorned the Lord, the child that is born to you shall die." Did David sin? Absolutely. The two main ones, adultery, which is number 7, I think, and then coveting another man's wife, and then murder. I mean, David, he committed basically all of them right there. I mean, he made a mockery of his faith and his relationship with God, and did just terrible things. Destroyed families. Who knows what other side effects came from this sin. And he didn't get away with it. The son that he conceived with Bathsheba died. Of course, God restored David. He didn't take him out from being king. He didn't kill him. He spared his life because he repented. He acknowledged, "I have done a terrible thing. I've done a heinous act, and I'm sorry." And he turned from it, and he made it right as he could. And then God welcomes him back into fellowship and provides him with another son with Bathsheba, one that would go on to be king, Solomon. And even though this is a terrible, terrible thing that David did, as soon as David had his eyes opened and realized through the prophet Nathan, I pray we all have a Nathan in our lives. But once he realized, "I have done something terrible," he repents, he turns from it, and he commits again to serving God as best he can through the power of God. And God honors that. He accepts the forgiveness for himself. He goes on to be the greatest king Israel ever had, the ancestor of Jesus. And that's the same for each one of us. Every one of us deals with sin. But what is a sin? What is sin? Sin is simply doing that which goes against God. Really, there's only one sin. There's only one sin that humankind ever commits, has ever committed, or ever will commit. It's the same sin that Adam and Eve committed in the Garden of Eden when they ate that forbidden fruit the very first time. Or the same sins you and I will commit today, or committed last week, or will commit next week. The only sin that really exists is when we do put us ahead of God. Whenever we do something that serves us and denies Christ. Whenever we do something that goes against God's will and instead tries to promote our own will. Every pride, envy, greed, all of that. That's basically it. Whenever we pervert or thwart God's will and insert ourselves into the position of God. And that's what we need to be forgiven for. So why accept God's forgiveness? Why accept that forgiveness for ourselves? Because we cannot be who God created us to be. We cannot be used by God unless we acknowledge the sin, unless we repent from the sin, unless we turn away from that sin. And once we do that, then God is faithful. God is just, and He makes us right, makes us clean, makes us whiter than snow, so that we once again can be used by God for His glory.